Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew chapter 18, if you want to turn in your Bibles or follow along on the screens today. And it says, then Peter came to the Lord and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Only seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Today I want to talk about this subject today, just direct our attention kind of inward. Forgiveness and me. Forgiveness and me. What's my responsibility when it comes to forgiveness? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your goodness and mercy and for the forgiveness that you have shown us, Lord, when we felt so unworthy and were so undeserving. But God, today I pray that you'll help our hearts to hear this word and receive it. Lord, that we could be better in this world, be a better light, be a better witness for the church and for your love and mercy. Lord, today we're just going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord. Aren't you thankful for him today? God is good. Forgiveness in me. It's probably at this time in this world that we live right now a good time to make sure that we are examining ourselves. The world, especially our country, over the last week has really went through a lot. And one thing that it's been very emotional, and people have very strong emotions towards events that have happened, and rightly so. There are things that were horrible and horrific and just that we hate to see happening. It's a shame that it does happen, but it is the world we live in. The problem is that if we're not careful, we can let some of that emotion turn, and it can actually cause us to begin to have hatred toward people that we don't really know. We may know what they did, but we just don't know anything about them. We understand that people have done evil things and wicked things in this world, and we hate sin just like the Lord does. But even in times like this, we have to remember to keep ourselves in check so that we don't act out or even speak out in the wrong spirit. There's nothing wrong in standing against wrong unless the spirit is wrong. And we can begin to justify our anger and wrath and even some of the things we might say because the action that was done was so awful. And so we have to just be very careful, and prayer is a must, and keeping ourselves humble before God is a must. And then looking at things through the lens of God's mercy, anything that has happened. Nothing that has happened, as horrible as it is, caught God by surprise. He knew and knows everything that's going to go on in this world. And just like nothing that we ever did in our life ever caught him by surprise. And yet still, when we find ourselves in a place that we needed mercy and compassion and forgiveness, he offered it. We need to make sure that we are able. When you forgive somebody, you're not justifying what they did. You just understand that. What's my responsibility in forgiveness? Well, there's a couple of things. Of course, we know desperately how much we need forgiveness. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's a heavy price to pay. So we definitely need forgiveness, because I don't want to receive that pay. I need forgiveness. What does it do for me? In Psalm 130, the psalmist said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Forgiveness removes the mark of sin, that birthmark of iniquity that we're all born unto. You can't get rid of it. I can't get rid of it. One scripture says you can take much soap, water, cleaner, do all that you want to do to try to remove it, but it would still be visible to the Lord. And so we need his forgiveness. Forgiveness is powerful. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, in verse 20, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father to bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all the sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Again, forgiveness is powerful. And understanding how powerful forgiveness is. Sometimes people look at forgiveness as weakness. Well, you're just giving in. No, I'm forgiving. I'm not giving in. I'm just forgiving. I'm doing what God did for me. I'm doing, and we're going to get to it, because it's easy for somebody to just say that's what we should do, but there's also plenty of scripture to back that up. And we want to make sure that we are always in the book. So as much as we need forgiveness, and as desperately as we need it, it must also be extended by us. God is not the only forgiver. He is not the only one who deals out mercy. To the merciful shall obtain mercy. He said that in his word. I want mercy in my life, so I need to be merciful. Ephesians 4 and 32, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. When he was on the cross, before he took his last breath, he looked at people that had punched him, beat him, put a crown of thorns on him, that had nailed him to a cross, whipped him, had mocked him, shamed him, laughing at him, pointing at him, staring at him, and he said, Father, forgive them. With the cross on his back, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He told me to take up my cross daily and follow him. And if he can forgive people with his cross on his back, then surely I can forgive people with the cross on my back. It is not a choice. It's a commandment. It's part of the walk. That I walk as someone offering forgiveness to those that have wronged me, and even offering forgiveness to those who have done wrong in the world. Some situations don't require my forgiveness because I'm not involved in it. You know, people get this, they involve themselves in things that they really have no business involving themselves in. They get wrapped up. The scripture warns me, don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. No man that warreth tangles himself up in the things of this world, so he can be the kind of soldier he needs to be. That he can be the Christian that he needs to be. There's so much happening in the world, so much happening in the news, so much happening on social media. Thank goodness we're on a social media fast if you're on that. But if not, then you're probably reading all kind of comments and things, and it's easy to get yourself tangled up into those things because of your personal belief. And if you're not careful, you're going to need to get down and say, God, forgive me for thinking like that because I want to just run over people. I would like to shoot somebody. I would like to just do the same to them. It's easy to get like that because we're emotional creatures. And we need to examine ourselves and keep ourselves in the faith and make sure that we are being honest and true and presenting things honest and true in the sight of God and men. And yes, it's horrible, it's awful, and it does incite feelings inside of us. But if that person that raised that anger up in you came to you and said, but look, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You have one option. One, and that's to forgive. Because God forgave us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, guess who we are? The elect of God. He's writing this to the church, to the saints. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Our responsibility is to give as it was given. Forgiveness in me. Oh, I like all those other things, but forgiveness is tough, Pastor. You better believe it is. It was tough for him hanging on that cross to say it. It's tough. I'm sure it's tough in God's mind to look down and see all the things that are going on, but still daily offering forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion and love every day. And that's on people who don't know what they're doing. But think about how tough it might be to look down on the ones he's already blessed so greatly, and they're turning their back on him, not doing the things he said to do, fighting one another, backbiting, lying, gossiping, carrying on, and still they come to him and say, forgive me. And what does he do? He forgives. My responsibility for forgiveness is to do it. It's part of our walk. And when Peter came to Jesus, he said, I want to know where the line's at in the sand. How many times do they get a pass? Seven times? And of course, the Lord, just to make the point, no, 70 times 7, 490. Forgiveness is an issue, even for key holders. hey, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. But that don't let you off the hook for forgiveness. I've shown you great things, but that don't let you off the hook for mercy and grace and compassion. You don't get to call fire down from heaven and burn them up. Forgive them. The only fire I want you giving to people is the Holy Ghost and fire. Pray them through. So forgiveness, I've said this before, God gave things to the church so the church could heal itself. And forgiveness is one of those things. It doesn't have to be. Forgiveness is so powerful, it can erase any debt. That's what we're fixing to get into. We're fixing to go through it a little bit line by line and show just how powerful forgiveness is. That it is so great that it can erase an unrepayable debt. It can get rid of it. And if the church would practice, as Paul wrote to the church, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, be patient and long-suffering, forgiving one another, they wouldn't be church splits. It wouldn't be people walking out the door mad, but people would simply say, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we forgive each other? Why don't we put on our big boy pants, men, ladies, big girl skirts, and why don't we do that and just forgive each other and love each other? I'm listening for that pen. Our responsibility is to give as it was given. So Peter looking for the line that we often look for. How many times have I got to do this, put up with this? How many times? 70 times 7. But then Jesus goes into this principle, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven principle. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like to a certain king which would take account of his servants. It's a kingdom principle. It's something that people who have, we now have sight and entrance into the kingdom. Because when we're born of water and spirit, we can see and enter into the kingdom of God. So he's talking now, of course, Peter, now this hasn't happened yet. But he said, this is what the kingdom is supposed to be like. And it's as it is in heaven. Mercy and forgiveness that comes from heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. These things that he's about to talk about should be done here in earth as it is in heaven. It should be done among the church and among the brethren. This is how the church is supposed to operate. But here comes this, he brings a servant which owed him 10,000 talents. But he did not have anything to pay with. So this man's debt is not repaid. He didn't pay the debt. The debt was erased. It was forgiven. And he's saying, this is what God does. And so many songs have been written about it and messages preached about it that we owed a debt we could not pay. So he paid a debt he did not owe. He paid the price for us. And so we know that all the things that were wrong in our lives, God's forgiveness was so powerful that it released me from it. It took it out of my life. What a weight would come off this man's shoulders all of a sudden. Because he couldn't pay, he was going to lose it all. Because we couldn't pay it, we would lose it all. They were going to sell him into servitude, his wife and his children. Everything else that he had, he would have nothing to come back to. He was going to be, this is what they were going to do to him. They were going to take everything he had. This debt was going to consume him. It was going to destroy him if the king, the Lord, did not forgive it. There was no way out. And he was looking for the least. Just give me time and I'll pay it. But the king knew, you will never pay that. It's more than you can pay. There are different estimates on what he owed, because it says he owed 1,000 talents or 10,000 talents. But if it was 10,000 talents of silver, it's anywhere from $53 million in today's money. If it was 10,000 talents of gold, it could be much as $3 billion in today's money. He couldn't pay that off. There's no way. It was impossible. And Jesus now shows us a very important principle to live by, that it may not be repayable, but it is always forgivable. Someone can hurt you in a way and do something that they can never give back what was taken. They can't heal the wound that was given. It may not be repayable, but it's always forgivable, because you never lose the power of forgiveness. A child of God that has the Holy Ghost, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And no matter how deep the wound is, I can still say, I forgive you. And then I am released. You know, I don't think this Lord would find pleasure in taking this man's wife and children and possessions, but it was the law. He was going to do what was needed to be done. But compassion made a difference. He could have done that with us, just got rid of us, but instead he had compassion on us, and he loved us, and he forgave us when we were unforgivable, when we couldn't do anything about it, when we had done everything against him, when we were rebellious, and Paul makes a great list, liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers, drunkards, all kind of things. He said, all that, that's what we used to be, but God's forgiveness changed that. And let me tell you, forgiveness will change. Now, I didn't say it would change the other person, but it can change you. And you can be free from that. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to sit around and think about it anymore. Anybody who thinks that forgiveness is weak doesn't know. They've never been forgiven and realize how powerful it is. This man, the just sigh of relief, probably go home so excited. Hey, it's all done. We're not going to be sold into slavery. They're not taking our stuff. He forgave the debt. I don't have to pay a penny, but it's done. I don't know why. I can't figure out why, but he did. He forgave it. And so we know the feeling of forgiveness with God, but I also know the feeling of forgiveness from others. When I know that I have wronged somebody and I had to ask forgiveness, and when they said, I forgive you, and I knew they really did, I didn't have to worry about that anymore. And I have forgiven others, and I know that takes a lot off me, because I don't have to think about what they did anymore. I don't worry about that anymore. I just let it go, and I can go on and live my life. Forgiveness is not weakness. I think it was Gandhi that said, anybody who thinks forgiveness is not weakness. He said, forgiveness is strength. It is an attribute of the strong. Anybody that forgives is stronger than anybody else, than their enemies. If you can forgive them, and it aggravates them to no end when you forgive them. Oh, they can't. They'd rather be a thorn in your side, but when you forgive, you remove the thorn, and you can go about your life, and maybe they. And the way it should work is hopefully you forgive them and everything goes back to being good. But you may get a guy like this guy that doesn't realize how great he's got it, how fortunate he is that this Lord had compassion on him. And now he doesn't understand his responsibility with forgiveness. Because once you have been forgiven, it's on you. If God had never forgiven us, why do I have to forgive anybody? But it says, as Christ forgave me, now I forgive others. So I know I've been forgiven. So now I have a duty. Forgiveness is part of who I am in this walk with God. I've got to forgive people. And so maybe the person can't repay it, but I can still forgive it. It'll make it right. I'll forgive it. Forgiveness makes things right. There's a liberty that comes with forgiveness for both parties. I know I've got a quote here that I was looking at earlier, that I said this, it was part of who we are, and I wanted to read this with that. Martin Luther King Jr. said that forgiveness is not an occasional act, but it is a permanent attitude. It's if you're thinking, if I forgive, you know, I still remember it. That's okay, because forgiveness doesn't change the past, but forgiveness does change the future. It doesn't erase what was done to you. You know, people say, well, God doesn't remember. He doesn't remember it against us. This king, this Lord, he still remembered, because when this servant would not offer forgiveness, he brought him back in and said, let's talk about what you're doing. I'm glad that God doesn't remember it against us, but he still remembers. He hasn't forgotten who we were. He's known us all our life, but he does not remember these things against us. They're under the blood. We've been justified. That's as if it has never been done, but it was done. It's just as if it had never been done. So there's a liberty that comes with it for both parties. The forgiver, or the forgiven, is free from the debt that's owed. The forgiver is free from the worry. He doesn't have to think about it anymore. He doesn't have the feeling of being done wrong anymore or being owed something. We are free from feeling offended. Oh, it's great to get that feeling of offense off of us and just live. And people say, I don't believe you can really do it, but you can. And I'm sure you all could amen that, because I'm sure you've done it as well as I have. I have done that. I have forgiven people and saw them the next time I saw them, was able to walk right to them, shake their hand, and not doing it, not being fake. You know, I know a lot of times we'd like, well, I'll forgive them, but I hope I never have to see them again. That's our thinking. I'll forgive them. Man, I will. Lord, bless them on their journey. Just don't let them ever come back this way. But when you really forgive them, you can shake their hand. You can hug their neck. You can talk. You can speak to them. I didn't say you'd go out to dinner and hold hands, but you can treat them in a way that God would treat you. And he might just come in and sit down and eat with you, so watch out. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, as we run this race, that we should lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. That's what unforgiveness is. It's a weight, and unforgiveness is a sin. It simply is. It's a sin, and it easily knocks us off our course. That's why I was making the comments at the beginning. Be careful about the things that are happening in the world, that you don't get tangled up in them to the point that it causes you to have awful, terrible thoughts about people. You don't have to even get into that kind of depth of thinking about people that do those things. But here's the thing. Anyone that committed any horrible act in this past week is a candidate for God's love and mercy. I could probably say that somewhere, and I could probably get rocks thrown at me for saying that, because a lot of people in this world are very upset right now. And again, it's upsetting. But still, those individuals, if they found a place of repentance, they could be baptized in Jesus' name and filled the Holy Ghost and could go to heaven. A lot of people have already, condemned them as devils and they're going to hell. Well, maybe they will end up there. I don't know. But we don't put them there. We don't judge anybody. And you say, that's a tough line to follow. It's just walking with the cross daily. That forgiveness is part of it. We need to dust forgiveness off. We need to check it out, make sure we're still carrying it, because not just for those people. But then I witnessed a guy that I went to high school with made some ugly comments about what went on. His comments went against another guy, and this guy said, "Well, I can't believe I've known you all my life, and that's the way you think, and I'm done with you." And boom. Friendships, lifelong friendships, being destroyed, being broke up because people are so wrapped up in all that stuff that's going on. But forgiveness will take care of that. Forgiveness will help. It's not justifying it, saying it's all right, not excusing it. But, hey, I can forgive people. Forgiveness is powerful. And it's still, no matter what's done, it's not the Lord's will that any perish. Any perish. Not, it's not the Lord's will that the rich, that the influential, that the smart or the good looking or the popular perish. But he said that any perish. We were all concluded in unbelief so he could have mercy on us all. And so we have been those fortunate ones that have experienced that mercy, and now it's up to us to hand it out, to do that. Unforgiveness is a weight of sin, and it easily sets people off. That's what verse 28, what happens. This guy, fresh from the mercy seat, finds a guy that owes him just 100 pence is about 16 U.S. dollars. So he finds a guy that owes him 16 bucks and says, "Pay me." And he says, "Hey, if you'll have patience with me, I'll pay it all." But he would not, but threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. He took him to a place that he escaped because of God's mercy. But he said, "I'm not going to forgive you. Weren't you just forgiven millions or billions of dollars worth of debt, and this guy owes you 16 bucks. And you can't buy nothing in America with 16 bucks anymore." But that's what he owed him, and it was so small, but it tripped him. It got him. Greed, whatever it was going on with him, it got him. But unforgiveness is what we should be doing. James 4 and 17 says that if a man knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. And if we know that God wants us to forgive, but we won't do it, well, you can paint it any color you want, but it's still sin. If we know it's good to forgive, but we don't, then we are in sin. If we don't forgive, we cannot be forgiven. So we are in sin. And if we are in sin, then our prayers are hindered. Because we know that God does not hear the prayers of sinners, but those that worship him. Unforgiven people don't worship. Forgiven people worship because they know what's been taken out of their life, and they know who took it away, and they worship him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that shed his blood for my forgiveness, that would wash me whiter than snow. Oh, I need forgiveness. I need it every day. God, forgive me. There is not a day that goes by that I don't at some point in the day say, "Father, forgive me for what I've done." Because even the one writer said, "Cleanse me of my secret faults." Maybe I became a stumbling block to somebody by something I said or my action or the way I didn't mean to, and I don't want nobody to fall on my account. So God, forgive me. Yeah, I'm praying all the time. God, search me. Watch me, wash me, cleanse me, create me a clean heart, put a right spirit in me. God, don't let me be lost. Don't let me be a sinner. And I remember that I must pray as he taught us to pray. I've got to pray the way he wants us to pray. In Matthew 7 and 12, he said, "Therefore all things, whatever you would do, or that men would do to you, do also to them." The golden rule. So do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, I want people to forgive me. Now, some people don't care. I don't care if you forgive me or not. But I'm not like that. I don't want people holding a grudge against me. If I wronged you, I'm sorry. I don't want people, I don't want to be looking over my shoulder. I want to be worried about, you know, stuff like that. So if I've done something wrong, I'm quick to say, forgive me. I'm sorry. Because I just don't like that kind of stuff going on. But, you know, I want people to forgive me. So why wouldn't I forgive others? I want to forgive people because I'm not carrying that book around. I got a list. You own it. Man, that list's going to get heavy. Don't do it. Don't fall into it. Don't do it. Do unto others. I heard somebody say one time that, you know, the scripture says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. I said, don't rob God of his job. Vengeance belongs to him. Let him keep doing it. If it needs to be doled out, he'll take care of it. So don't try to step in that. So you think about, in the light of eternity, how small offenses seem. I mean, you think, oh, they did this, okay. But is that worth eternity? What, one writer asked, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Will I trade my soul for justifying my hurt, or will I just forgive? Will I lose my soul so I can hang on to offense, or will I just let it go? Forgive me, Father, forgive me. I must forgive as he has forgiven. When we hold on to those things, we are the one who looks bad. Look, you hold on to it, the guy that did it, he don't look bad. You look bad. Yeah. Hold it on to unforgiveness and bitterness because it changes you. And nobody wants to be around you anymore. We are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Remember what Ephesians 4:32 said, be kind one to another. Matthew 6:12 says, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive me, Lord, for what I owe, and I will forgive others for what they owe. The man in the story that Jesus was teaching the parable, he put himself where God delivered him from. You know, a lot of people like to talk about once God forgives you, you got nothing to worry about. There's ever been a parable that would debunk the once saved, always saved theory is that. Because he was free and the debt was completely wiped out. But because he wouldn't change, he said he delivered him to the tormentors. I don't want to be thinking, well, I've obeyed Acts 2:38. I don't have to forgive nobody. Careful, careful, careful. Careful, careful, careful. In Ezekiel 18:24, I know I'm getting close to time here. Did I give you that, Ezekiel 18:24? I think I did. That's 18:22. Let's keep jumping. Go to 24 if you can. I thought I gave that. When you read my notes on my page, you'll think, Pastor, you need to start typing better. There we go. He says, when the righteous, turns away from his righteous and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, shall he live? Listen to what he says real close right here. All the righteousness he has done shall not be mentioned. And you want to wipe out a well-lived life, just turn away from it. In his past that he has passed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to let unforgiveness wipe out my years of serving God and living for God. I'm not going to let one thing that happened cause me to lose my walk with God. So Jesus taught his disciples to pray. The summation of that prayer we find in Matthew 6 and 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You can't bargain, beg, rewrite it. If you won't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. God does not like unforgiveness. When this man is brought back before him, he calls him a wicked servant. You know, I can't believe that I forgave you all that debt and you won't forgive this guy. Take him away. God does not like unforgiveness. You won't forget it, but you can forgive it. And just because you can remember it, my wife will tell you I've said this many times, just because you remember it doesn't mean you haven't conquered it. And just because you remember it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven it. It doesn't erase our mind, our memory. It just breaks the chains that of bitterness and the unpleasantness that it comes along with holding on to unforgiveness. It gets that off of us. It gets that worry and stress and anxiety. It gets it away. I've forgiven it. Sometimes people, I don't know if I really forgave them because I can still remember it. Well, you don't have amnesia. You can still remember it. But as long as you're not dwelling on it, the scripture reminds us, don't be mindful of the country that you came out of or you'll have opportunity to go back. The principle is don't dwell on things that you've already forgiven or you may go back to unforgiveness. The door will always be ready to swing wide for you to step right back in and be hurt and offended again. Don't dwell on it anymore. You can stand with me. It's coming close to time to close out. I'll go back to Psalm 130. And I want to read verses 3 and 4, just a reminder again of this. If the Lord marked iniquity, it means if he just kept a record of it that could not be erased, if it was a mark, it could not be erased, then Lord, who shall stand? If God did not take away the things that we had done in our life, it doesn't matter what we'd do for the rest of this time on earth, because in judgment we won't stand. But there is forgiveness with you that thou mayest be feared. I read in Psalm the other day, I know I've read it, at least read over it many times, but there was a scripture that stood out in my mind, Psalms 86. And he said, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. I want my heart to be in alignment with God's. I want it to be united with him. And if my heart is united with him, then forgiveness is going to be part of that. And I'll be able to provide things honest in the sight of God and in the sight of man. I would truly be able to say I don't have anything in my heart against anybody. And as far as I know right now, I don't. But that doesn't stop me from praying every day, Father, forgive me as I forgive others. I don't try to look and see is there anybody I didn't forgive, because I don't want to imagine something against somebody or anything. Or, you know, maybe they did. You know what, maybe I should have got mad about that. I just, if it's not something that's there, I leave it alone. It's not burying my head in the sand. I just don't tangle myself up with things that can grab my emotions and cause me to be bitter or ugly. I don't want to be lost because of a root of bitterness in my life. I want to forgive people. So what's my responsibility in forgiveness? What do I do with that? You give it out just like God did. You don't reserve it. You don't hold back on it. You don't try to say, I'm going to, you know, parcel this out to who I think. God forgives anybody who asks. God forgives.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.